Good afternoon, Packers fans. Aaron Negler here with your Packers Daily Chat, coming to you live on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Happy Wednesday. It's hump day. Hope you're doing well. Packers making a little bit of news. Not a ton. There are some big transactions, headlines, what have you, around the NFL. Packers have yet to make something seismic happen, but Chris Brooks back in the fold. The third string running back, such as he has been so far during his time in Green Bay, has signed a 2-year contract with the Packers to stick around a little over $4 million, 4.8, hovering around that neighborhood. Was set to be a restricted free agent here in a couple days. The Packers clearly making their choice between him and Emmanuel Wilson, who will not be given a tender and will be allowed to become a free agent. Brooks, as you all know, I don't have to tell you guys, you're a bunch of Packers geeks. Outstanding pass protector, probably his single most recognizable trait, but a hard runner, a guy that you can hand the ball to, and certainly behind this offensive line in Green Bay, especially in 2025, has been able to make things happen after contact, which is often the case behind this O-line. Decent receiver. I think he can improve in that area, and got to think he'll get more opportunities to do so. We all know you can't count on Marshawn Lloyd. We talked about that a couple days ago. Packers will undoubtedly look at both free agency, but more probably specifically the draft, to keep augmenting that room. But certainly a sign that they value what Brooks does, certainly on third down. He is an eraser in pass protection. I'm sure most of you remember the rep where Jordan Love ends up hitting Savion Williams deep to preserve a drive there in New York. Big play that is only allowed to happen because of some outstanding pass pro work by Brooks. That's just one highlight. The guy is an absolute machine in pass protection, locking guys down, whether it is safeties, blitzing linebackers, and even defensive linemen. The guy is outstanding in that regard. So makes sense why the Packers want to keep him around, keep Jordan Love upright. And like I said, I do think this will afford him a few more opportunities, probably get some, at least a chance to compete for more carries, more playing time, what have you. A nice kind of, I think, compliment for when you want to give Josh Jacobs a rest. He runs as hard, a more, a physical type back, much like Jacobs. Certainly not the idea where you want a back that is very different than your lead back. He is pretty similar to Jacobs in a lot of ways, but I do like the signing, and I think it makes a world of sense. So good to see him sticking around. Certainly, I know Jordan Love's got to be happy because he knows he can set it and forget it when Brooks is back there. And if there's any kind of pressure, Brooks is going to be up to the task. Good stuff. Love to see it. We'll see what happens here over the course of these next couple days. Got to think some decisions are about to be made as far as Elgton Jenkins, maybe Rashawn Gary, things of that nature. But at the moment, Chris Brooks back in the fold. Good to see. And good to see all you hanging out. Soder's here, of course. Dennis, good to see you, buddy. Nick, how are you? Thanks for checking out the stream on Twitch, man. Hope you're all doing well. Before we get going, you guys know we got to give a shout out. We got to hear from our friends over at ThetaCare.
Expertise follows inspiration. That's why more than a dozen of the nation's top cardiovascular specialists have chosen ThetaCare as their destination to deliver exceptional care. By infusing local care with new expertise throughout ThetaCare, we're creating a healthier future for all. Meet the experts at ThetaCare.org/heart.
All right, let's see what's on your mind, folks. How we doing? How's everyone living on this fine Wednesday afternoon? Good to see Benarak here, of course. Everyone's saying hello. Hope you're all well. Hey, oh no, are we serious right now? I hope that's not someone putting something in the chat here I don't want to talk about. It sounds very sad. People talking about my hat. That's good. Dan, what's up, man? I hope you're doing well. E4, what's going on, brother? How about a bonus for the O-line for each run where the running back is not touched behind the line? That line would have made $5 last season. Yeah, it was a rough look for much of 2025 as far as creating space for the running game. Never mind protecting the quarterback. But, yeah, I mean, look, they're certainly graded on everything, and everything is kind of parsed and picked over in film work inside the building as far as attaching certain financial parameters around that. Don't know how that would sit with the CBA, but I don't hate the idea. It'd be a good time. Menace, Packers legend Corin Robinson. Remember that summer? Man, that was a good time. That was a good, good time. Packers legend Chris Brooks. Yes, of course. Menace. Well, he can't cover Jettas or rush Caleb or protect Jordan, but not a bad retention. He can protect Jordan. See, you trying to be all snarky, sir, but he 1,000,000,000% can and does and has and will continue to do so when it comes to protecting Jordan. I mean, he is a stalwart pass protector. Jimmy, how are you, sir? Hey, Nags, always appreciate your daily chats. If you could sign any free agent this offseason for the Packers, money and cap aside, who would you sign? I know it sounds like a cop-out, but I say it every single year, so longtime listeners and viewers know what I'm going to say. Let's get to Monday, where the actual, you know, breadth of who's actually going to be available will be on offer, because I guarantee you there are guys that we're all chomping at the bit or looking at or thinking, oh, I would love the chance to sign that guy, and then those guys get re-signed right before the start of the legal tampering period, or even during the legal tampering period. Last year, I remember I did a whole video with Matt Bowen about Khalil Mack and the potential to get him in Green Bay. I even got, against my better judgment, excited about the prospect, and then he re-signed with the Chargers. You know, so I forgive me, but I've had that football pulled away way too many times in my life to get too kind of excited about anybody in free agency until they're actually in free agency. And even then, what's crazy is that in this modern era we live in with the legal tampering period, you can have agreements, and we've seen this a couple of times already in the NFL over the course of the last couple of years, where you have an initial agreement during that opening, you know, negotiating window, and then guys change their mind, or all of a sudden they haven't signed anything yet because they can't, and now all here comes another team and whisks them away. So long way to go in that regard, in my estimation. I know people are making lists and looking at free agents or potential free agents and having dreams about certain situations. But for me, man, it doesn't really materialize until we know for sure that the person is available. I know Linderbaum is a perfect example from the Ravens. I still think there's a very good chance they re-sign him. And I know all signs and reporting are suggesting otherwise, but, I mean, that is the league. These things go right down to the wire, as Andrew Brandt always talks about, deadline spur action. Look no further than Aaron Jones a couple years ago. The first time he was asked to take a pay cut, and we were all, you know, pins and needles about whether he was going to re-sign with the Packers or if he was going to hit free agency. And then I think it might have been like mere hours before the deadline, he agreed to terms with the Packers, you know? So long way to go. Long way to go yet. What else we got here, folks? Dan, how are you, sir? I watched yesterday and every day, but you and your listeners know more than me this time of year. Well, Dan, it's because we're nerds. That's kind of how that works. You know, we have nothing else to do but pay attention to everything that's going on around the Packers and the NFL. So appreciate you, man. Appreciate you checking it out every day. Oh, Mr. Heebs, this is a very good question. And I know it's not a direct one, but I like the premise. Is my Jacob Monk draft crush finally crushed? I don't think so. I know he had a very rough summer. I know he had a very rough training camp and preseason last year. No doubt about it. I thought he played quite well when given the opportunity in Minnesota in week 18. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean much as far as, oh, he's going to lay claim to a job or anything like that. but it certainly offers some hope for a guy who at worst could be some depth for a line that desperately needs interior depth in particular. He'll be allowed to come and compete this summer. I don't doubt it. Now watch, I say that and they'll cut him like as I'm talking, but I do think he'll be in camp and allowed to compete and get especially an opportunity to compete at center, where I think has always kind of been the idea of trying to utilize his skills at that position. And this is certainly an offseason where there's going to be competition there and there should be opportunity for him to at least lay claim to the backup role, if nothing else, right? And the fact that he has run at all three interior spots for them would make him a pretty decent depth piece, right? I'm not sitting here and telling you he's going to be some, you know, potential starting all-pro center at any point in his career, but all players have value, and there is still value in Jacob Monk on the Packers roster. I do think he'll be on the team next year, and I think he'll be a decent depth piece. You know, it's not obviously what you're hoping for when you draft a guy, but, you know, what is he, a late day three pick? That's, you know, not a terrible return. So is he turning out maybe as well as we had hoped? Not yet, but he certainly still has value and can still contribute to the Green Bay Packers here in the next couple of years. That's my read of things anyway. Mike Witt, how are you, sir? Hey, Nags, no question. Just wanted to say thanks for the replays of Happy Hour. Love watching it every week. And the best 80s one-hit wonder is Dexy's Midnight Runners. Excellent pull. That is a phenomenal song and or group, and you're welcome. Yeah, I really enjoyed people reaching out about the replays because I do know, especially for folks in different time zones and different parts of the country and or world, it's hard to make it every week at a set time. We've kind of bounced around as far as nights that we do it in the off season, and you know, timing is kind of set to quote happy hour here on the East Coast, but I do appreciate everyone who is able to join us live, but certainly if you haven't been able to, now we do make them available on replay. Thanks for checking them out. It's always a very loose, fun conversation, no doubt about it, about the Packers and many other topics like 80s one-hit wonders. complicated fella. I hear you, man. Total agreement on the free agent frenzy. Why get all jacked up and 99% of the time it doesn't happen? I mean, that last part is certainly the case when you're a Packers fan, right? I mean, it's not quite Ted Thompson anymore. I mean, back when Ted was in town, you knew you could set your vacation time at the start of free agency because you knew the Packers weren't going to do anything. I mean, now, hell, I sure as shit didn't see the Aaron Banks signing coming last year. That really took me by surprise, right? I expected them to be in on McKinney a couple years ago. Jacobs was a bit of a surprise to me. So there, and those are all early signings, right? So it's a bit different now than it used to be, but for the most part, yeah. Like, especially when you're talking about who might be available, you know, re-signings are still going on and there will be going on through the weekend. So best to wait in that regard. Joe, how are you, sir? I think the Packers starting O-line in 2026 could be better than 2025, but the depth or lack thereof makes me nervous. Yeah, that is going to be a key component. Yeah, it's interesting. I feel pretty good about it, but also at the same time, it's not like you have wildly different personnel. I mean, you will have a different left tackle, which is always significant, right? Really need Anthony Belton to take a big step forward. He was certainly physical enough last year, certainly looked like he belongs. But man, pass pro was a very big issue throughout the season. You know, it's not like he went in there and was lights out in that regard. That's an area he really needs to improve. But I do think he's going to be your starting right guard, right? We all know the struggles with Aaron Banks and how inconsistent he was. Definitely need improvement there. Zach Tom sure feels like he'll be back, ready to go week one. I know he had an update there on social media about his rehab. And he's a set it and forget it, you know, all pro type there at right tackle, which is phenomenal to have. But yeah, center, obviously a huge question mark. And who knows how that particular starting five ends up gelling. And then, yeah, depth, as we were just talking about with Jacob Monk, need some more kind of consistency there, especially when you're talking about guys who could, you know, have to come in and play any number of different positions. Certainly saw them mixing and matching, moving guys around throughout last season, and that was a bit of a disaster. So definitely need more consistency there throughout. What else we got? Menace. Thank you, sir. We are a draft and develop team, and I know you can't pay everyone, but letting go of nearly the entire 22 class, which was world-beating, but which was, I think you mean not world-beating, but solid, 74 and 52, possibly on the outs, a lot of snaps to replace and not a lot of resources to backfill. I don't know, man. I think they've done a pretty good job of being prepared for this moment. I understand what you're saying, but, you know, I do think for the most part, it's not specific to every single position, and it's certainly not going to be uniform, but I think they've done a decent job of being ready for this moment where, yeah, you do have a number of people leaving and you do have a number of people, you know, that have played a lot for you. And I've talked about this a bit with Justice over the course of the last season. I want to say, you know, you can't pay everybody, and you do want to recognize and pay premier talent, which they have done. Whether that's, I mean, Jordan Love, obviously. The trade for Micah Parsons came along with giving him a pretty significant contract, right? You've already paid Zach Tom. You're probably going to have to pay Jordan Morgan if he plays as well as you hope he will over the, as well as you hope he will. I don't know if that's English, but over the course of these next two seasons, you know, you're about to pay Tucker Kraft and Christian Watson. At some point, guys got to walk. And also, the Packers, I think, have positioned themselves really well as far as when these guys do walk, they are at positions that are going to get paid. There are guys that are. I mean, whether it's, you know, clearly Rashid Walker is going to get bank, but I even think with the way the salary cap is expanded and continues to go up, even somebody like Quay Walker, who plays a position that hasn't traditionally been a, you know, top flight bag getter, for lack of a better term, he's going to get a really good deal, a really, you know, significant deal. And that is going to help the Packers when it comes time for those compensatory picks next year. So I hear what you're saying, but at the same time, it is draft and develop, and you want to develop your core. Guys like Tucker Kraft, Christian Watson, Zach Tom, that's the core of your team. Those are the guys that are going to get paid. Outside of that, you have to be ready to backfill and continue to churn through young, cheap talent. Because that's what the draft is, man. It's all about procuring and developing cheap labor around your core. And hopefully some of those guys develop into additional members of your core. That's what it's all about. And then you also leave yourself flexible enough to take a swing on a guy like Micah Parsons. I mean, this doesn't just happen, right? And I know in this day and age where we're all up to date on every single freaking thing, every second that it happens, we don't really tend to step back and kind of appreciate the fact that the Packers do operate this way and are a draft and develop team, and still were able to take a swing on a guy like Micah Parsons. That's, you know, and it's not going to wreck them. That's the thing. That's, and I'm not saying you're doing this, Menace, but I think there are Packers fans who don't appreciate that, you know? So, again, while I understand the idea behind your statement here, I think the Packers have done a pretty damn good job making sure they're ready for this moment and making sure that they're consistently churning through, yeah, some talent, no doubt about it, but being ready to replace it with guys that maybe haven't played as much, but they're ready to. That's where I'm at with it. Panic Button, how you doing, man? Packers Aubrey / rumor happening today. What's your all-time favorite rumor that had no basis in reality? Random Packers legend Dave Osborne. Honestly, my favorite Packers rumor that had no basis in reality was Micah Parsons coming to the Packers until it happened. Like, legit, that news broke, I think, 1 minute before I was supposed to go live on Packers Daily. And I couldn't believe it was true. I had to check the Rappaport Twitter page like a billion times to make sure it wasn't some, you know, fake account. So yeah, all time, I never thought that was going to happen. I thought that was an absurd rumor. And then it happened. So I'm not going to say never on the Aubrey thing, although I would be absolutely shocked. I don't think Aubrey's going anywhere. But hey, I said the same thing about Micah Parsons. So who knows? Mike Witt, how are you, sir? And someday I want to meet Soder. Eeyores unite. Got to, man. I'll tell you what. Make sure you're paying attention to the Patreon page or the Carry the G Club page when the schedule gets released, because that's when we determine when the annual Cheesehead TV meetup is. Soder is a regular attendee. So make sure you're at the Cheesehead TV meetup this year and you can meet Soder. Jason, how are you, sir? I'm not a Hawkeye fan, but it seems that Iowa could be our one-stop shop for the draft. There are three O-linemen, TJ Hall at corner and Wetjen at wide receiver, punt returner are our answers. Well, here's the thing. You know, the Packers organization absolutely loves that program. They have since Ted was in town. Brian has certainly kept that kind of connection alive. I have little doubt that those guys will be on the board, and probably some of them will be pre-draft visits. I wouldn't be surprised at that. Who knows? I don't know if they go that heavy into Iowa, you know, prospects per se in one fell swoop, but they will certainly be, you know, on the board in the discussion, and maybe one or two of them end up in Green Bay. Wouldn't be surprised at all. What else we got here, folks? Mike, thanks again, man. Packers legend, Mark Murphy, the safety, not the president. Man, I grew up with Mark Murphy in the backfield there, man. He was a hell of a player. He was a hell of a hitter. Not the greatest athlete in the world, but you knew when he hit a guy, he was going down. Absolutely love that. All right, folks, I got to get going. Cannot thank you enough for hanging out, talking Packers each and every day, Monday through Friday, right here on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Please do me a monster favor and hit like on the video. Subscribe to the channel, and then tell your friends and tell your family, Cheesehead TV, we are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great night. Go Pack, go.